pray together.
Our Father, we thank you. We give you honor. We give you praise. We adore you for your loving kindness. Thank you for drawing us to yourself. We don't take it for granted that you give us liberty of worship, freedom of utterance, and authority of ministry. God, we thank you. No man takes this honor upon himself except those that were so called. Even Jesus, our Lord, did not take this honor upon himself. The Father had to say, "Today have I begotten you." And so, Father, as we meet now, we ask that you come to us. We ask that we will encounter you. We ask, Lord, that what you did in time past, and you turned your servants to become flaming fire, please do it to us again. For the ministries to which you have called us, we ask that you will visit us afresh. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Our theme for this week is dealing with Jesus, the supremacy, the efficacy of his saviorhood. The fact that if we call him Savior, he is in every form qualified to be so. If we call him Lord, we are not just making mouth. That is who he is. If we say he is mighty to save, and that there is nothing impossible for him to do, it is not an exaggeration. He is the Lord. What manner of men? What manner of ambassadors of this great Savior we must be? And the reason why I have to start doing that is that there is no way that he can be known. There's no way he could be heard. There's no way men will encounter him in his mighty power except through men and women that he has chosen to walk through. It's not only sufficient that Jesus died, rose again, and is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. How will people hear unless there be preachers? So if there were no preachers who preach him clearly and carefully, much of his grace and his greatness will be wasted because men have not known. So the critical responsibility as ministers, let me put it like, as his ministers, as his rod of strength, as his ambassadors, now bestows upon us a very, very crucial demand to be channels through which his power, his life, and his glory might be made manifest. If we are not doing it, then the destiny of men that are hanging around us will become precarious. If we are not doing it well, then those that are eagerly looking to encounter him, they will go back either disfigured or confused. So I'd like you to please allow me to reason together with you from the book of Hebrews chapter 7, from verse 1 to 28. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. And without all contradictions, the less is blessed of the better. He lives. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said to him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The better. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. This man. Hallelujah. Wherefore, is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice First for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, became the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Right. We took time to read the entire chapter because it gives a foundation for the kind of ministry that Jesus had and the kind of ministers his ministers must be. It gives us a foundation for the so much authority that is accrued and accredited to Jesus. It gave us insight into why it is Jesus that men must run to now and not any other. But because of the littleness of our time, I will not bother you to begin to talk about Melchizedek and all that is about Melchizedek. There will be no need for us to be discussing that. The reason is because God is not talking to us about Melchizedek. He has given us a man. A man, flesh and blood, who became man like us, whose footstep is traceable, whose life we can identify with. Whereas for Melchizedek, he represents something which, as you study again and again, you'll be discovering that Melchizedek, in the eternal concept, is no one else than our Lord. Right? But we are not coming from that figure. We are coming from Jesus. Even though he was God, he became flesh. Abi? He took on flesh so that he can identify with man in order to save man. He took on flesh, according to scriptures, so that he might taste death for everyone, in order for us to be delivered from him that had the power of death, which is the devil, and set us free to serve God in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. So even though his priesthood was after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron, even though his anointing is such an eternal anointing that we cannot contrast with any other man who has ever served God anywhere, either in the Old Testament and in the New, he is the Lord. But what matters to me that I want us to look at, I don't want you to be talking about the order of Melchizedek and be worrying yourself about the man that has no father, no mother, and all of that. Let's leave that. The Bible only gave him to us to give us a dimension of the kind of man, the kind of Lord, the kind of priesthood that God is giving to us. So I will not be talking about Melchizedek because one that I can touch, one that I can relate with, one that I can identify with, Jesus is here. Are you understanding that now? And let nobody confuse you and say they are here with the ministry of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. No. No. Jesus is the one that God has introduced. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am what? I am well pleased. Do what? Hear him. So if there's any that God is asking us to focus on, it will be Christ. And if there's any pattern of life and ministry or priesthood that we need to aspire to grow into, it will be this Jesus. As a preacher, if there's anyone I want to become like, if there's anyone I want to measure my growth with, it will be this Jesus, whom God has said, behold my servant, in whom I am delighted. So if our ministry is going to be acceptable and is going to fulfill the purpose of God and is going to bring results, then it is very incumbent upon us to focus on Jesus and begin to pray that we will serve as he served, that we will walk as he walked, that we will grow to become like him in every way, and that all our ministries will be focused on bringing men to encounter him, who is God's answer for all our generations. But my question this morning is, what are the qualifications that makes Jesus an effective minister? What are the qualifications that made Jesus an effective minister? Which qualifications, if we pursue and if we decide to grow in, we will become men and women whose ministry has enduring capacity to change lives and to help men. And if me and you, we will set priority on wanting to be like him, who is the head, who is the high priest over us, then I'm trusting God that what we do now will have eternal consequence upon the lives of people in the name of Jesus Christ. So let me start from verse 11 to draw the issues I want to draw quickly, and then we will conclude by praying together. I want you to see the Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 11, as we have read it together, but now we are going to take it little by little and study. It is in this time, if you have any other version that could be of help to us, I will be demanding that you should read for us so that we can be clear. Now, in verse 11, it says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Did you see the first logic that the Holy Spirit is bringing out here? That there was something that God was not satisfied with the Levitical priesthood. Even though, please be careful to listen to me, even though God inaugurated that priesthood, did he inaugurate it? And he inaugurated it with great fanfare. He inaugurated it with every provision. He inaugurated it with everything that they will ever need to succeed. For example, the Levitical priesthood that descended from Aaron was protected by God. You don't dabble into Levitical priesthood anyhow. God will be there to punish you. You don't take a Levitical priest. You don't take it for granted. If you are not so called, you dare not touch it. And all of you, you know. You remember that God protecting it, he even gave them special dresses which they wear in order to enter and minister on the altar. Are we together? He provided every instruction that governed that priesthood to such an extent that there is no detail that you need that is not contained in the law. You remember that God was so jealous about the Levitical priesthood that even the sons of Aaron, who came to the altar carelessly to offer a strange fire, and the Bible called it strange fire because God had not commanded it. Oh my God, did you understand that? As they were offering this strange fire, they are doing giri 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 on the altar. There was fire that came from above and did what? Consumed them straight. What was God? He did not want contamination of that ministry. He did not allow people who are brilliant and who are cleverly minded to devise their own fire and bring on the altar. God was very concerned about it. And even if they were the sons of the high priest, God did not spare them. And when the fire burnt them, Moses came up and said, Aaron, make sure you don't care. Make sure you do not shed tears for these your boys. Why? Because the crown of the anointing is on your head. I don't know whether you understand that now. So the Levitical priesthood was highly organized. It was highly protected and preserved by God. You must not misbehave with it. The Levites don't need to fight. God was ready to fight for them. Even kings that violated the Levitical priesthood. You remember the king Uzziah? Eh? That's a mighty king. But somehow, he became arrogant. He said, what is in Levitical priesthood that they are doing that I cannot do? Is it not to offer incense? You see, what the Levitical priest does may look ordinary. Are you hearing me? And it may be like just light fire and put some incense and burn it and dance around. It may look ordinary and it's as if anybody can copy it, but God never allowed anybody to copy it. If you are not so authorized, even if you know the procedures, you are going to run into trouble. So when the king walked up and he wanted to do it, the priest came to him and said, O king, you are a king, and we don't doubt that. But it is not given unto you to offer incense. Don't do it. Otherwise, you will undo yourself. They have authority to speak to kings. Not because of education, but because of ordination. Are you understanding that now? They have authority to correct things, not because they are rich, not because their stature was impressive, but because they have been ordained to be so. Why the king said, get back, get away, who are you? Are you talking to me? What are you doing that I don't know how to do? And as he took the incense, immediately, heaven protested. You know, when you are in a correct ministry, you don't need to protect yourself. You don't need to defend yourself. If you are a man of God, ordained by God, approved of God, I see no reason why you are talking too much about yourself. Maybe the reason why you are doing this, is because heaven has not approved you. Because when God has approved a man and ordained him, heaven is ready to back him up and to defend him. So God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet what? No harm. He did that. Why the man was doing giri-giri on the pulpit, on the altar, heaven responded. A finger was pointed at him, and right from his forehead, leprosy appeared. That's a man who dressed nicely when he was coming from home. That's a man who came in an entourage. That was a man who had everything. He was dabbling into the Levitical priesthood that he was not ordained for. He left that sanctuary that morning. How? A complete leper. And as a leper, you can't stay in the midst of human beings anymore. They couldn't drive him back home. He couldn't go back to the palace. From the altar to the bush, where he was abandoned. Abandoned. Why was he so abandoned? He dabbled into what he was not ordained for. God protected the priesthood. By the time I'm ending, I would like to share that if we be ordained of God, God by all means backs up the man he has called and the man he has ordained. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you this story because to come to chapter 7 of Hebrews, and we are seeing God standing up to discard what is so much inaugurated, what is so much invested in. Can I tell you, God invested in the priesthood so much, so much, so much. When Uzzah, you remember Uzzah? The man that when they carried the ark and put it on the cart, which was not ordained. God's presence should never be carried on the cart, on mere technology. God's presence must be put on the shoulders of sanctified, prepared men. God ordained that I want my presence to be carried on the shoulders of the Levitical priests. If they don't carry it, you can't move it. God so much put so much weight on that ministry. God so much invested glory into that ministry. Just because Uzzah, when the ark shook, because God wanted to prove that what you are doing, I'm not part of it. There's fanfare, there's noise, there's food, there's dancing. but I'm not part of it because you have violated my priesthood. When Uzzah touched it, what happened to Uzzah? 20 days after? When? Instantly. You cannot imagine what I'm talking about. Here's the driver who is driving the cart. And 2 minutes ago, he was directing things. Don't let that thing shake! Don't let that thing shake! And 2 minutes after, he was dead. That's how God protected the ministry of the Levites. Now, was there provision for the Levites? Did they have food to eat? Do you know that all the offerings that people bring, the Levites, they were supposed to take the best out of it. So no Levites called into the ministry was allowed to suffer hunger. I'm saying all of this because I want you to know that if a man has been called by God and so ordained by God, it is not hunger that will send you out of ministry. If you have been so called and you are walking in your correct ordination, God is not unrighteous as to forget your labor of love rendered unto him. Am I communicating? Alright. But there was something that will make God to discard and throw away the Levitical priesthood, despite all that God was willing to invest in it. Despite all that God was willing to put around it. Despite everything that God is willing to release to them, there was something that did not satisfy God about them. And, you know, in my heart, I said, God, so there's nobody you cannot discard. There's no system you cannot dismantle. No matter how gigantic it is, no matter how many years that have been going, if the intention of God is not being met, no cost is too much for God to look away. I have prayed many, many times to myself. I said, Lord, I have worked for years. I have preached here and there. I have traveled many places. I have slept on the roadside. I've slept by the riverside. Mosquitoes had fed on me. And all of this, if I don't end well, if God should see a reason to say, put him aside, it is you that say, ah, no! God has put so much in that brother. God has really, really, really invested much on him. Even if he's misbehaving, God will pamper him. You are the one who say that. God does not pamper any man to heaven. And he does not respect persons. He honors his word all the time. So, what was it that God saw. And I want you to reason with me as we read. Now therefore, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? Why? The purpose of God was not carried out. The will of God was not fulfilled. The desire of God was not established. And in that sense, I would like to read on so that when I jam maybe verse 18, you might be able to see what we are talking about. Now, for the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. For he, things are spoken, belongs to another tribe, from which no man has ever officiated at the altar. Can you imagine that? The tribe where Jesus descended from, nobody from that tribe has ever officiated on the altar, because they were not so ordained. If anybody from Judah should go near the altar, he died. So why was God going away from the Levites and Levitical priesthood and Aaron? Why? To such a point that the person you never thought should come near the altar will be God's own choice. What is God looking for? Many years ago, in my cry, you know, I cry a lot to God, when we are still seeking how God can use us, I had a question. I said, Lord, what are you looking for in the men you use? What attracts you to any man that you want to use? Lord, let me know. Let me know what you are looking for, so that I will not be reading off syllabus. You know, I was a lecturer for a while. If your student does not know what you are looking for in the course that he took and in the exam that you have set, he may make a book for you in his exam, but because it's off syllabus, will he get anything? And many times I'm marking, I carry my red bike. I said, wow, off course, off point. Cancelled, off point, off point. I said, sir, I wrote a lot. They said, yes, you wrote a lot of rubbish. Look at what we ask you to do. You are answering a question that was never asked. Will you pass if you are always answering a question that the lecturer did not ask? I was touched. I said, God, what are you looking for in the men you use? I am not concerned about whether people like or they don't like me, whether they clap for me or not. The only approval I must not miss is your approval. Oh God, what are you looking for? So when I came here and I'm seeing that there was something that the Levites did not meet up with, and it meant that God was going to discard that great arrangement, that great organization, that great investment with everything that was sold on, to the extent that God had to even change the law that established them. I said, God, what is it? And as one who wants to serve God in my generation, help me to discover it. These are not general prayers. It's not the prayer we pray on the pulpit. These are something you cry to God privately about and say, oh God, what are you looking for you to put your stamp of approval on my life? Now, the Bible said, it is evident in verse 14 that our Lord Jesus arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power. Can you all please mark that first? Will it be that what was deficient in the Levitical priesthood was not arrangement, was not presentation, it was not organization, it was not regularization? What was deficient in the Levitical priesthood was the deficiency of life. There was a law that established them, but there was no life to sustain it. There was a constitution that established them, but there was no life to give life to those who are coming. Can you mark that, please? The deficiency of life in a man of God's ministry is a deficiency that cannot be ignored. Oh my God. I hope I'm not saying too many things. I hope you are following me small. If you have great organization, you are a great administrator, and you know how to mobilize money, and you are quite charismatic in the way you express things, and everybody clap for you. But if God looks inside and sees the deficiency of life, if you don't carry the life that can affect other lives, the life that can change lives, the life that can flow and change other lives, because it's life that begets life. Fire begets fire. Am I correct? So life begets life. And if there is that deficiency of life, that deficiency is the kind that God will look at and say, wow, we cannot keep this man in the ministry. If I'm going to ask you to pray, are you carrying life? I'm not just talking of existence. The Bible talks about people who are living, but they are dead. So I'm not talking of existence. I'm talking about life. Life. The Bible says, for Jesus, in him is life. And the life is the light of men. And the light shineth in the dark, and darkness cannot comprehend it. I want to ask, even as I'm going on gradually, do you carry life? Do you have life, the life that convicts lives of men as to change them? Look at the Bible for me. The Bible said, this one was established according to the power of an endless life. Which means life has power. Hallelujah. Which means the power of ministry. Please let me say quickly. It's not the power of oration. Is the power of oration, let me tell you the truth, politicians are better than us. If it is the power of organization, oh my God, there are great organizations that is far, far superior to what we can put together. But the power of a man's ministry must be the power of what? Of life. And when life is deficient, to the degree that life is deficient in a man's ministry, that is the degree of the disintegration that will follow him, whether now or in the future. Alright. But so as to be able to establish all that we are trying to study, so that when we are ready to pray, we can then pray together in a very concerted manner, because we want to be men and women that will bring transformation to people and help them to connect with Him who is mighty to save. Now, please, please, read verse 17 for me and verse 18. This time, I will be begging if there are other versions. You know, the old King James says, "For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling." Now, in the old archaic English, the word disannulling, but in modern world, annul. When you say you annul something, what's the meaning of that? You've cancelled it. You've cancelled it. So, that scripture is saying, there is an annulling. There's a cancellation of the former commandment. There's a reason. Did you see a because in that Bible verse? Please check the because. What is the because of that verse 18? Eh? Because of its weakness and unprofitableness. Oh my God. For the weakness and unprofitableness of it. Is there any version that you want to help me check? Is there good news that you can read verse 18 for me? Wait, we'll take it. Whatever you have, we'll read it. Yes, sir. It was set aside. It was weak and useless. Did you see the word they are using? It was weak and useless. How can you see what God inaugurated? What God invested in? What God provided for? What God deliberately raised and wrote a law to protect? How could you now say it's weak and useless? Where is the other version you want to read for me? NLT? It was weak and useless. Baba, what do you want to read for me? Amplified. Please bring the mic to him for the Amplified. Uh-huh. And command. Cancelled. Its weakness. Ineffectiveness
and uselessness.
How could what Passion Translation? I hope it's passionate.
Has been set aside as weak and powerless.
Weak, powerless, ineffective, useless. Those are the language. I thought we have read Living Bible before.
Message Bible.
Message.
Before we operated, a system of commandment that never worked out. The way it was supposed to, was set aside.
Because it never worked the way it was supposed to work. It has to be set aside. So friends, I want to ask you to check some few things with me this morning before I stop. That former arrangement was discarded, cancelled, because it's weak, ineffective, powerless, and useless. It did not fulfill why God set it up. Nobody that came to that priesthood actually was delivered. They did everything they could do, but they could not find deliverance. They came in as sinners and they went home as sinners. They follow rules and regulations, but it never changed their lives, because the priesthood itself was weak, was ineffective, powerless, and therefore useless. So, what kind of priest does God want me and you to be? What will make our ministry effective, profitable? One time I was reading this in Yoruba language. It was so painful to me, the way the Bible put it. He said, it has to be discarded, because it does not pay us. The way they put it, they say, kopewa. It's as if you invested. When you are looking for profit, it was not profitable. They say it's for the unprofitableness of it. When others say it was useless, it was weak, it was ineffective, the word unprofitable was more serious for me. That God set it up, invested in it. He gave him everything. When Baba came to look for profit, it was unprofitable to God. And sometimes I say, ah, God. You keep looking for a man to be profitable, for a ministry to bring profit to God. How will you invest so much and there's no profit? So, we would like to now look at what they said about this Jesus that made him the kind that God is looking for. And I will enumerate that quickly as we see it in that scripture, and then I will stop. Then we will interact with ourselves. Then we'll be asking, what should be the priority of a man of God who must be God's ministers to express this priesthood into which God has now enlisted us? What must be my priority? What will be your own priority? Now, in verse 24, 25, 26, up to 27. You know, it began, he said, but this man. Hallelujah. But this man. You know, when you use but, as you have been discussing on a line, and you say but, that means a change of direction. Abi? Contrarywise. In contrast to what has been happening, but this man. So I want you now to follow me with this man. Shall we now focus on this man? Who is this man? Jesus. Jesus. But this man, because he continues ever. That's the first word. What is the word? He continues. I'm not first talking that he has a life that never dies. That, to me, is not the first issue there. What is the first issue there? He continues. Do you know there is something about continuing? What will be the simple meaning of continue? Can some, consistent, progressive, enduring, cumulative, not intermittent. Not that he is hot today, by the time you meet him tomorrow, he's in another temperature. He continues. And I've seen the word continue used severally by the Lord Jesus for every man he calls. When some disciples wanted to follow him, he said, now are you my disciples indeed, if you do what? If you continue in my word. Oh my God. Did you hear me? I'm just looking for simple word to describe this man Jesus. One thing about Jesus is that he does what? He continues. He is not intermittent. There is consistency of life. There is continuation of consecration. There is a continuing of his obedience. Did you see what they say about some brothers? They say, this brother, he was a strong man. He
He was a prayer warrior. He was this. But he has stopped. He has not continued. And they will give a reason. They say, since something like this happened, that's when he stopped. That's when he did not continue. I want to ask, is there continuity in your walk with God? Have you continued to walk with God? Is your obedience to the word of God, your obedience to God, has it continued? Or it stops? It breaks down? After some time, you shake your body and pick it up again. And God say, are you back? Isn't it God, you know? And when things are difficult, and this, that, God say, so you went away. We can't depend on those who do not continue. When you read James, he said, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and does what? And continues therein, being a doer of the word, not a hearer only, this man. You see, when I came here and saw this man, anywhere I saw this man, it used to draw my attention and say, this man, this kind of man shall be blessed in all his deeds because he continued. Did you start walking in righteousness in your younger days? Have you continued? Did you start a life of consecration some years ago? Have you continued? Have you stopped? What was those things you started doing with God and you have stopped? You are not continuing it. Maybe you met other preachers. Because we are preachers here. And we are usually confronted by seeing new methodology. You met another man who is dashing up and down on the stage and doing something. You don't know where he's coming from. You don't know his background. You have not even seen his family life. You don't know what he came out here to say. We don't know his story, but because he dazed you with something, next Sunday, you changed. You just changed. Say, yes, there's a new move now. There's a new move now. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so, you're like this, you're like that. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, especially when they have good mouths, when they say things that impresses, when they appear as if they have succeeded, which you did not know. Where did they get their success? You've not seen the bottom of their wealth. And the Yoruba man says, the bottom of the wealth may have a lot of terrible issues. But you are happy to change the way God was training you. You are happy to change your teachers and to go
and submit to strangers of whom you did not know. This man, what did the Bible say about him? Continues. The Bible said Jesus, even though he was God, he made himself of no reputation and became human. And one version says, and being found in fashion of a man, he continued as a man. He became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. And when he had done that, the Bible said, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name. My brother, if you want to tell me the truth, why is it that everything about you is not working out? Is it really the devil? Or that you have not continued? You have left your first love. You have abandoned where you met him. And what you said to him at the very beginning, you have retracted it. You are saying so many things. And heaven is asking, but you have not continued with me. This man whose ministry will affect men is a man who experienced how to do what? Continue. But this man, because he continues ever. The world may look as if they are just saying, because he never will die. No, it's not that. It's not that. But there's a life that has continued. There's a life that has not changed. There's a life that has continued only to grow from grace to grace. There's a life that has pressed on and pressed on and pressed on until God can confirm it and say, this man, he has continued with me. Hallelujah. Do you know when Jesus was going to talk about those that he was going to appoint upon the 12 thrones of Israel? In Luke 22, what did he say? He said, for this man, let's read it. Because I want you to note, Luke 22, please. And if you are there before me, help me check whether it's verse 28 that I want you to check. Luke 22. Are you there? Can you help me check whether it's verse 28? Ye are they which what? Which have continued with me. What? In my temptation. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. Is anything to do with continuing in that Bible verse? They have continued with me in my temptations. Friends, I'm not going to offend you. I don't intend. I don't want to offend you. I want to stand with you. But let me ask you, have you not discontinued where God placed you? Have you not stopped where heaven had wanted to watch your continuing, so that when the time comes to raise you up, they will still find you there? Have you not bolted away? From the hand
that God wanted to use to raise you up. As I see too many young brothers, too many young brothers, they hardly spent 3 years under another hand. Too many, many starters and never finishers. And I wonder what was it, the problem. You are in haste. You are in haste to be known. You are in haste to be seen. You are too much in haste to be honored. You are in haste for men to hear you, even when there is no message in your mouth yet. Others, I see you shouting, shouting, shouting. They are only what you downloaded from the internet. You are saying what has never become your life. You have no light to back up what you are saying, because you cannot continue. Something is moving. I was born an original. I will not die a copy. Who told you? What is original about you? And what originality are you bringing to the kingdom of God? What are you doing that has never been done? Who are you? Where are you coming from? This man, because he continues ever. You know the word ever. For me, it's not the forever. Ever. The meaning, the word ever, what it means to me is that in any situation, he has continued. When there was hunger, he continued with us. When we are trekking in the bush, he has continued. When temptations came and there is complete rejection, he has continued. One problem that has not allowed the confirmation of the power of God and the authority of ministry on many lives, heaven is still saying, how long will he continue? How long will it take him before he will bolt out again? How long will it take him before he will start something again? He has not continued. Ever. Oh God. Ever. Even when there's no food, he continued. When he had nowhere to lay his head, he continued. In summer, he continued. In winter, he has continued. In sunshine and in rain, he had been with me. For day a day, these are they who have continued with me in my temptations. Look, the way it came, that's why I'm talking about it. I want you to see how Jesus put it. That's why I'm talking about it. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed me. So let me ask you, how has the Father appointed him a kingdom? Because he has continued ever. When I see him say, ask my Father, the next question is, how did the Father do it? How has the Father sent him? How has the Father brought him up? Ask my Father, as my Father did. You know, he said, abide in my love as I have abided in my Father's love. Do you remember that? And I have kept his commandment. So I found that Jesus, wanting to share ministry with me, wanting to share this priesthood with you and me, he kept saying, this is how I came into it. This is how the Father considered me. This is what I did. And the Father. You know, in my study, when I said, Lord, what are you looking for in those you call? He began to show me. He said, even Jesus, your Lord, I did not make him who he is arbitrarily. There was certain because in his life that I saw, and I could not resist making him who he was. And if I see a little of that in you, nothing will stop me from using you. So for me, right in my own personal pursuit, I have been saying, as you see what you did to Jesus, please, Lord, find a little of it in me. I want to be like him. Friends, some of you thought that Jesus was anointed just because he was the Son of God. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said, thou lovest righteousness and did what? And hated wickedness. You hate iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all your fellows. This man. I'm back now in our passage. Are you with me? This man. Hebrews chapter 7. That's where we have been reading. But this man, because he continues in obedience, he continues in submission to the Father, he continues in giving glory to God, he continues ever. He has an unchangeable priesthood. He has a priesthood that is profitable to God, and so God does not need to change it. Can I ask a question? Is it possible to endure in ministry? Can we be in ministry for 50, 60 years and it will still be fresh? And the anointing will still be flowing? And God will not discard us? Yes. It's possible. It's achievable. But only one thing. If we do what? Continue. If my obedience to Jesus continues, if my humility continues. They say there was this man, when he was nothing, when he did not think himself to be anything, God helped him, until he was helped. He was helped up, and then his heart was swollen. He did not continue. And because he did not continue, heaven cannot continue also with him. And so he was discarded. He was put aside. And there was nothing anybody could do about it. Will you continue, brothers? I'm asking a question. Would you like to continue? And I say, Lord, whatever happens, I want to continue. I want to continue in my obedience. I want to continue humbling myself every day. I want to continue, oh God. No matter what you do, no matter the glory of ministry, me, I will continue. I will continue to be a simple, obedient child of God. Even when money comes, even when it is possible to eat a cow in my house every day, Lord, I will continue to put knife on my throat. I will continue to follow the man of Calvary the way he is. Because this man continues ever. To me, that is a critical word there. He continues ever. So he has an unchangeable priesthood, the one that God will not change. Amen. And for this reason, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever. What is the next thing he does now? He ever lives to do what? To intercede. Hey, my God. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? These were the things that when some of us were coming to ministry, we knew we have to do. We knew we had to pray. Am I right? We knew that we must pray. We knew that you can't come to the pulpit putting your hand in your pocket like this. We knew. We knew that you trembled and crawled to the pulpit begging God for mercy. We were not experts. We are not experts. We already knew what to say. We came trembling, Lord, if you don't have mercy on me, I'm gone. Hey, oh God, we cried, we wept. When people say, bro, are you ready? Say, I'm not ready. I'm still begging God, please help me beg God. But now, because everything is all right, you are testing microphone when you have not tested your spirit. You have not continued. You have become so bold that before you come on the pulpit, you are eating chicken, you are eating cake, you are drinking this, and you are telling that, oh yes, sister, bring that for me, hallelujah. Go and check whether the choir, whether they are ready. So you are never part of the fellowship anymore. Say, when they are ready, they should call me. Who are you? You have not continued. Your prayer life has not continued. I didn't say you are not saying prayer. I know you say prayer, but you are no more praying. You know somebody defined prayer. I think that man is called Helen LSB or something. He said prayer is helplessness. Only the helpless prays. When you have become helpless, whether there is a word in your prayer or not, that you are just saying, because you are helpless, you know you can't go anywhere. Heaven is hearing your sigh. But no. You're only coughing now. You're clearing your throat because you have eaten so much. That's all I'm saying now. And you don't want God to change your priesthood. When you are gradually becoming unprofitable to God, you are becoming unprofitable to heaven. You are occupying space, and heaven is coming every week. Say, why is he cumbering the ground now? God used to give you utterance that makes souls to shiver and to cry and to run out, but you have not continued. I hear you say, when we are young, when we are junior preachers, we preach for souls
to be saved. But now, whether you will be saved or not, it's not a promise. We preach now for money. I see you gather a great utterance, not for souls, but to tear the people's pocket. You have not continued. You have not continued. He said, he continued ever to make intercession. Those of you that God has helped you and your ministry grew, if you were to tell the brethren, the younger generation, you will have told them how you prayed. You will have told them how you went flat on your stomach pleading with God. How sometimes you told your wife, lock me up until God comes down, don't open for me. This we did, but you have not continued. You thought it was promotion to discontinue your consecration. You thought it is big man to discontinue your smallness in the presence of God. You thought it was wonderful to be an expert, not knowing that expertise, expired experience, carries no weight with God. God wants to give you fresh word every morning. If you understand Jesus, he never outgrow. He said, morning by morning, he wakens me up. He wakens my ears, and I hear like a disciple, so that I will know how to speak a word in season to those that are weary. Morning by morning, morning by morning. Friend, have you continued? And you are saying, God, don't look away from me. Don't change my priesthood. When it's no more profitable. When it's just making noise. It's not touching lives anymore. Because we want to talk about Jesus, whose saviorhood is so elaborate and so sufficient. But how will people touch it if preachers like me have stopped to continue? Let me ask you to read verse 26 and 27, and then I will be done for this morning. For such an high priest became us. Such an high priest is the kind we need. Who is he? Who is holy? Are you me? Are you there with me? Is holy. He's not preaching holiness. He is holy. Did you hear me, sir? Many are preaching holiness, but they are unholy. They preach powerfully, but their wives is sitting somewhere and say, don't mind my husband. Don't mind him. That's how he will talk. There's nothing there. Mm-mm. This man is what? Holy. He's not holier. Did you hear me? They didn't say he's holier. Holier is comparative.
Am I right? And there are holier than thou men. We are not talking of holier than thou. We are talking of holy. When we talk of holier, it means even in the country of the blind. If you manage to have one eye, is it not enough? Eh? You are holier than the rest. We are not talking of that. We are talking of men who in God's assessment is what? Holy. It is not in comparison with church members. It's not in comparison with anybody else. In the presence of God is holy. Is walking with God in holiness. Before he preaches holiness, he himself is what? Holy. And if I would tell you, to be holy as a man is a continuous experience. Eh? The holiness of last year is not necessary now. If a man has been holy all his life, and the Bible says he turns and turns to wickedness or to sin, what shall we do to all his holiness? He's forgotten. That's the Bible. So when they say he's holy, you know the meaning of it for me? He's presently holy. He's continuously holy. It was not an historical holiness. He is holy. Go to Jesus now. He is holy. Are you hearing me? For all the years, he has continued to be holy. And today is what? Holy. Bro? That's the question I want you to deal with as we pray. Are you still walking in holiness? And I'm not talking of holiness or rules and regulations. I'm not first talking about that external holiness which is easily achieved. It's not to put on and put off. What does it take to be holy in a church service that lasts for 3 hours? Eh? Even the most angry man, once we are entering the church, say, the Lord is in his holy temple, and let every man be what? Silent. He's quarreling with his wife before they came home. But as soon as they enter church, suspended. And for 3 hours, he's a gentleman. By the grace of God. Even if you annoy him, say, we're in church. Am I correct? Eh? If you step on his toe, you say, oh, sister, I'm sorry. I don't even know why I put my leg so front like this that you step on. I'm very sorry, sorry. At home, step on his toe. Say, so have I now become a needle that you cannot see? I don't even know what your eye is on your head. Whether it's to see or to smell. That's the holy man in church. Violent at home. We are not talking of external holiness. We are not talking of comparative holiness. I'm not talking about activated holiness. I'm talking of holy. You see, when they say he's holy, that meant by life, he just holy. Every day is holy. Take him to hell. Even in hell, is what? Is holy. Take him into where they are discussing any kind of thing. Is holy. And people look at him and say, what are you doing here? You are too holy for us. He said, I thought you said I should come. He said, no, your holiness will not allow us to do what we want to do. Please go away. He is holy. Friend, are you holy? That's a question to ask, and it's too direct. Say, ah, no, Braguli, don't say that. Say, are you trying? If it is the word trying, you can be trying. Have you? Say, bro, how are you? Say, we are trying. I wish trying is equal to holiness. Sister, are you holy? My brother, who is holy? What's the next word in that verse? Harmless. Hey, harmless. I'm just looking at why this priesthood of Jesus will remain unchanged. And if I'm going to be one of his ministers, this is what I must be looking for. Harmless. Sir, what's the meaning of being harmless? Blameless is not, it's not exactly as being harmless. Eh? It's not injurious. When you come near him, you won't suffer damage. It's harmless. Oh my God. Are you hearing me? Are we talking with me? What does it mean to be harmless? There is no harm if you come near him. If you draw to him, he's not harmless. Can we say that of all our preachers? The young girls that go for counseling, have they met a harmless man? Young ladies who are not allowed to speak now because they will spoil the ministry. They meet a man of God who is not harmless. They came with open heart, not knowing that they have come to a man who is not harmless. They were opening their lives and say, I'm a man of God, my brother. And they don't know that the man of God is not only hearing. Eh? He's planning something else. This priest, this Jesus, holy, harmless. Harmless. He's harmless with money. Put money in his hand, you will meet it when you come back. But we have to struggle nowadays. Pastor must not be the one who is keeping money, because he's not harmless. I went to preach in a meeting, and just like you have welcomed me so much, that's how they welcomed me into this meeting. And I was preaching for a pastor, and they lodged me in the pastorium. But then the ladies, the organizers that were in charge of feeding the man of God, they will bring my food, and they will not include the pastor's food. And they will be expecting me to eat. And they will stand there to supervise that I ate. I said, no. My brother, let's eat together. Ah, pastor said, no. My own food, no, they are. I said, God, how can you be my host? And I'm eating alone and you are watching. So I'm not eating the pastor eats. Then the people were bold, you know, they said, sir, his food is not here. The committee knew that you are coming, and so we are cooking for you, not for him. When they left, I said, pastor, I smell a rat. What's the problem? Then, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he said, I cannot hide it. I said, what have you done?
said, I have offended them. And these people are wicked. They are not ready to forgive anybody. I said, Pastor, don't say like that. What did you do? He said, they wanted to buy public address system. Look at all these things. They wanted to buy for the church. And they started raising offering. And they got money to a point. So they went to Alaba Market in Lagos to check. So when they got all that they needed, the money that they had was not sufficient to buy everything. So they said, since by the grace of God, in another 2 weeks, they may add more money. There's no need to take the money back to the bank because they withdrew it first. Let the pastor keep it for us. So that in 2 weeks, when we get some more money to add, then we'll go to Alaba Market. What a trust. And I'm asking you, who else should the church trust? If we can't trust our shepherd, who should we trust? So the man told me, as it happened, he just felt that before the other money will come to complete, somebody said there is a kind of poultry that you can quickly invest in, and in another 2-3 weeks, it will turn around. So he quickly invested the public address money into poultry. And you know the devil. When the devil wants to deal with you, the poultry could work for someone else, not for him. As soon as he brought it in, there was this chicken sickness that came. Started clearing, until everything finished. Meanwhile, the church people, they were wondering, how did our pastor suddenly became a poultry farmer that has so much, but they couldn't ask him. They didn't ask him. They didn't say, have you used our money? They didn't ask him. They were just saying, when the money is complete and we're ready to go to Alaba Market, Baba will produce the money. Only for the money to be complete. He said, now let's go. He said, let's go next month. For what? Let's go another month. 3 months, they can't go. 6 months, they could not go. The money has disappeared. So the church, they're so annoyed. They said, you must bring our money. I saw trouble. I begged them. I said, as a man of God, I'm begging you. He said, no, we know you. You are different. We know you. You are not the same. Don't put yourself with him. When I finished preaching, now you imagine, my Lord Bishop, I finished preaching, I called pastor to come and help me pray. The people started going. They tell me, I say, we call you to preach and to pray for us. We saw him before we invited him. Don't ask him to pray again. We don't want that hand on our head. We are tired. And I've met that in many places. Men of God who are not harmless. Not harmless. It's so painful to me. Not harmless. A family cried out to me one day. Said, Brad Billet, where do we meet Christians again? I said, they are still alive.
Said they are very scarce. I said, what do you mean? Then they said, you remember this man of God? We gave him accommodation in our house. That whenever he is preaching and he's passing through, he should sleep here. Like you remember the Sarifat woman. We gave him a bed and everything. And they had three daughters. Age 12, 14, 16. And the three of them were violated by the man of God. The Bible says we should open our home to visit us. Abby, how do we do now? They are not harmless. What manner of men are we to be to bring the message of this Jesus whose salvation is so full, who is mighty to save and to deliver? What manner of men? Not harmless. When a man of God is not harmless, when sisters are going for counseling, people say, be careful, be careful, be careful. Not every counseling they call you, you go for. We know him. Abba. And I tell you the truth. You only need to misbehave with one. Just only one. The whole church. In fact, the news we hear is that every person that passes through that church, skirt and blouse, the man of God sleeps with them. He has only slept with only one room. And he has stopped. But the people will never stop telling the story. You only need to become harmful once, your ministry is silenced. I want to check with you this morning because we are needing to pray. We are looking for a salvation that is full. And we need to present Jesus, who is mighty to save, to deliver, to heal, to set men free. And if we are his own priests, harmless, undefiled, undefiled, separate from sinners, separate. You can't lump him up with sinners. You can't count him among sinners. It's different. Separate from sinners. Made higher than the heavens. Sir, you know, this pulpit is very symbolic for me. No one comes here without climbing up. Abi? And why did we make it higher than the pew? So that the angle of elevation can be easy for people to see. Is that okay? How can a man of God not be higher than the pew? How would they see direction? How would they know where to go when there's no distance by life higher than the heavens? Every time you lift up your eyes, you see him ahead. You see him much more. So it is easier for brethren to say, yes, we have an example in our pastor. We have a man of God whom we can follow. We can close our eyes, we see his path. As we pray together, brothers and sisters, they said, this man who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice for his own sins
Well, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. That's not my dealing here. But how terrible it is that somebody comes to me and says, "Sir, please pray for me because I don't know how it's happening. My eyes is not stable. In fact, there's one sister Ronke that my eye is pursuing, and I know it's not correct, but I could not stop it. I need prayer." But you want to kneel down to pray, something hook your spirit. Say, "What of you? What of you? What of your own eye on Cecilia and on the choir mistress? What will happen to the prayer now? Eh? You become a stammerer. I can tell you the way the prayer will go now. Say, "Father, thou, O Lord, who understand everything, you understand that we are all sinners and we are all struggling. Even this, my brother, he is not alone. No, there are many others that are struggling. Please help us. Help all of us. Help us. In Jesus' name. Amen." Then the brother who is waiting to be caught, because he said, "I know that thing is like a bondage. I want it to be caught." But because the man of God has no sharp knife, he only used Vaseline to rub on his head. Say, "My brother, no problem." It happens like that. As long as we are human beings, your eyes will be running like that. Hey! We are going to call on God. We are going to say to God, "Don't let me become unprofitable. Don't let my own weakness weaken your ministry. Don't allow, oh God, my ineffective life make everything you have put together ineffective. Lord, this man offered his own life once so he can help all others. Help me to end my own struggle once. Let me not be struggling up and down. Help me to end it once. Make me a profitable vessel in your hand." Let's pray together. Let's call on God together. Let's turn to Jesus together. Let's call on Him. Let's pray. Let's be free with ourselves before God. Lord, if you discarded the Levitical priesthood with all the glory, with all the glamour, with all the investment, because it was weak, it was ineffective, it was not profitable, how much more, oh God, will you not tolerate that which only brings defilement, defilement? Lord, have mercy on us now. Let's pray. Please pray with me. Just call on God. Just call on God. There's need to pray. We're looking for something. Can we say, "Oh God, visit me. Visit me. Do something with me. Do something in my life. Do something beyond what I could think or imagine. Once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all, oh God." There is this matter that has been recurrent, recurrent, recurrent. Every time it comes and goes, every time. And every time it comes, it scatters your ministry, it scatters your utterance, it scatters the anointing. Lord, once and for all, deal with me, oh God, as thou seest fit. Thy work begin, thy work complete. But take me this morning as I am. Let's settle this matter, oh God. do a deep work in our hearts, oh God. Jesus, they said, this man, he continues ever. Some of us, oh God, we started well, but we have not continued. Some of us, our consecration was strong in the beginning, but now it has been scattered. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Continuing, because he has continued ever. Lord, some of us, our prayer life has not continued. We have left it. We are only doing church things. Lord, come to us. Come to me afresh. Do something new with me this morning. Do something with me, O God. Visit me by yourself, Lord. Let me see your glory breaking forth again. Lord Jesus, please come. Father, please come. Please come. As ministers of the Word of God, this is a priesthood to which God has brought me and you. Lord, please come. Please come. Please come. Lord, please come. We have nothing else to add. Nowhere to hide. Please, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, please come. Don't discard this thing that you have started with us. Don't let it stagnate. Father, don't look away. Don't look away. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Before I hand over, let me request you, has the Spirit of God been dealing with you today? Is there something that God began to deal with you many years, but you have not continued? Something pushed you and said, let me just go. And everyone said, look at this man. He has not continued with me. I'm going to call you to prayer and say, Lord, take me back. Take me back. Have you bolted away from where ought you to have been? Can you say, Lord, take me back. Do something new with me again. And in those areas that you know the Holy Spirit said, but you are not harmless. You are not harmless with church money. You are not harmless with girls. You are not harmless. You are not harmless with the glory of God. You are not so harmless. You have brought injury to the altar because of your recklessness. Can you please pray, Lord, this meeting, because you want to make us effective, you are dealing with this. Lord, please come to us. Please come to us. If you wish to stand before God, you wish to raise your hand and say, Lord, while you are helping people, while you are touching others, Lord, please don't pass me by. While you are changing people, Lord, please help me. And while you are speaking again into the ministry of your servants, you are sharpening us so that we can become more effective. Father, please don't pass me by. Let God have mercy with us. Let the Spirit of God walk in our midst. We are not looking at people, we are looking at God. We are not thinking about others, we are talking about ourselves. Lord, don't discard this that you have done with us. Don't look away, O God, from us. Look at us in mercy. Whatever it is in your heart that brought you again to speak to us this way this morning, Lord, have mercy on us. Where we have not continued, where we have abandoned our old consecration, where our fire has died, we are only going about with old burnt ashes. Have mercy upon us. Rekindle that fire. Come to us again. Lord, I ask, even where we have become harmful and we are no more harmless, church members can talk, we silence them. But look at us, we are not harmless. Have mercy on us. Cleanse and purify and give us another opportunity. And those of us, oh God, that by your mercy you have brought us to this point and your work is in our hand thriving, the only thing why it will continue is if we continue. Help us to continue. Help us to continue, oh God. Let not our heart swell up. Let not our head become big. Help us, Lord. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.